Let me ask you to open your Bibles to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is the text we'll just sort of begin with for a few minutes this evening. It occurs to me that there are probably at least three groups of people in our assembly tonight. One group has been worshiping God with their heart, and they have been thrilled with the time to sing praises to Him. Then there's perhaps a second group, and that second group would be people who want to find such joy in their heart in worshiping the Lord, but maybe right now they don't know how, and maybe right now that's not where they're at. They want to be there. They know that they should be. You may know that you should be thrilled with times to sing praises to God, and the praises that we've sung so far tonight have been wonderful. Then there may be another group, and that other group is people who they just don't get anything out of it. Service after service, they come, they gather with the Lord's people, and they know they should get something out of it, they don't, and maybe there's just part of them that doesn't want to get something out of it. I don't know which group you may be in tonight. In moments where we can together with one another just reflect upon, as we've sung tonight, the majesty of God. And as we've just sung, a song encouraging us to be revived again by God's grace. Now I want us to look in Psalm 51, verses 10 through verse 17. The psalmist in this chapter is turning to God and asking for forgiveness. And he's turning to God after he's sinned, and he's pouring himself out before the Lord, and he's acknowledged his sin and his failing before God. But notice verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, or else I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offerings, the sacrifices of God, or a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Sometimes I hear people say, you know, I don't get anything out of worship services. You ever heard someone say that? I don't get anything out of worship services. Now, I think that begs a question on our part. First of all, are we supposed to get anything out of worship services? Well, there's a quick response, and it says, no, we're not. We're not supposed to get anything out of worship services because our worship is about God. And the text that Mason read just a moment ago, Psalm 29, verse 2, reminds us that worship is to be given to God. Isaiah 43, verse 7, we were made for God's glory. It is certainly true that there is a sense in which our assemblies, our life, in fact, is to be given over to God. And when we gather with one another, the focus of our assembly is on God. It's not on ourselves. It's really tough in our generation today where we are consumed with ourselves. But that's the first reality. But on the other hand, the psalmist said in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You know what that tells us? There is something we're supposed to get out of this, right? We're supposed to find joy in our assembly. And the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 that we are to come here and exhort one another, and we're to stir one another up. Okay? So our assemblies are supposed to be a time where we can turn ourselves over to God and we can think about Him and we can be stirred up to love Him. These are five things that I have come to observe over years, 32 years of being a Christian, 20 plus years being a preacher. Five things that I would encourage you to think about in regard to your heart and my heart so that we can gain more from our collective worship. First one, prepare your heart. What we do here is very different from, I would really say, anything else we do in the world, right? And yet sometimes we think we can be out in the world and come rushing in here and just sort of fall right into line. That just doesn't happen most of the time. Anyone who runs or does any exercise like that will tell you that before they start running, they've got to stretch. They've got to prepare their body. We've got to prepare our hearts to worship. I would encourage you, if you find yourself running in at the last minute, week after week after week, you're running in thinking about stoplights and are you going to get here on time? And when you get through the Douglas Hills Circle, is there going to be a cop around? And you're so stressed out that when you get here, you've got to adjust and it's going to take a little time for you to move into worshiping. So get up 10 or 15 minutes earlier. Prepare yourself to worship God. Don't have the radio on when you drive in the morning. Don't listen to rock and roll or country or anything else that you're used to. Just have some quiet time as you come in to worship God. I've always been impressed over the years in Genesis chapter 22 when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son. Verse 3 tells us that Abraham rose early and he got everything ready for what he was about to do. First thing, prepare your heart. Second of all, engage your heart. I don't think this is something that has been actively taught. But I'm quickly coming to the conclusion that somewhere along the way, we have given Christians the impression that simply coming to services and singing and praying and doing the five acts of worship, that's all you need to do. I know we're not going to say that. I've seen a lot of Christians who act like that's just the totality of our worship. And I'll tell you what, you don't have to engage yourself if that's the case. We've turned ourselves into consumers rather than producers. We've turned ourselves into people who sit back and let everything come to us rather than understanding that we're supposed to bring something to this. And what I'm saying is, if you want to start getting something out of worship, you need to start engaging yourself in worship. Now let's build upon that. Number three. First of all, prepare your heart. Second of all, engage your heart. Number three, sing with your heart. Well, that's what you're doing tonight, right? Right? Well, maybe. We've been singing. But have you been singing with your heart? Worship begins in song when we start with one another, collectively joining our voices with one another and reminding ourselves as a church of where we're all at and who our God is and why our God is remarkable. It is so easy, and I'll confess this happens to me sometimes, it is so easy to sing songs and the words just sort of go right through our head. That happens to you, it happens to me. Engage yourself. Think about the songs that we sing. Think about the theme that has been announced. And bring your mind into this. It is somewhat of a stretch to apply this. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Apostle Paul is talking about people who speak in tongues. And he said that I will pray with the Spirit and I will sing with the Spirit. And that they would do those things with the understanding. The larger problem is when someone sang in a tongue, no one else could understand it. In order for a song to be effective, people had to think about it. And that's what you and I need to do. When we come together with one another, we need to focus on the songs that are being sung. And we need to make sure we pray with our hearts as well. It's real easy in prayer, right? We've got our eyes shut. It's been a long day. And some prayers go on and on and on, and you don't intend to, but you sort of nod off. Or some prayers go on and on, and we focus at the very beginning where we need to be, but then we start thinking about something else. Here's a couple of things I would suggest maybe you do. Repeat the prayer as it's being said. Take the we out and say me. So oftentimes in our prayers we say, Our Father in heaven. As that person is leading the prayer, just repeat it and say, My Father in heaven. We are thankful to be here. I am thankful to be here. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive me of my sins. Get to know your brethren as well. Why do I say that in regard to prayer? A lot of times in prayer, we pray for brethren who are sick, don't we? If that person is just a name to you, it's just a name. And you know it's the name of someone here, but get to know your brethren. And that way, when you pray for them, either someone's leading or in your personal prayer, it'll be more meaningful to them. If you find yourself, when someone else leads a prayer, struggling to follow along, it's okay to say your own prayer. That's fine too. But bring your heart to this. When you find your heart drifting, then pray to God and ask Him to help you focus again. And when you do that, prayer will become more meaningful, not just in our assemblies, but at all times. And I'll close with this one. Prepare with your heart. Engage with your heart. Sing with your heart. Pray with your heart. Listen with your heart. Okay, I'm a preacher. And I know sometimes people go to sleep in sermons. I see that from time to time. It really doesn't bother me that much because I know there are a lot of things going on in people's lives that I don't always know about. Sometimes people are on medication. Sometimes people didn't sleep well. Maybe something's going on in their life. So there are a lot of things going on. And I really, honestly, I appreciate this church so much because I don't see people sleeping that often. Right? But I know sometimes it can be difficult, especially if you've had a long day, and especially when the winter months are here and the building is warm and you're sitting down for a long period of time. So let me give you a couple of things to think about in listening to a sermon or listening before we take the Lord's Supper. Ask yourself a couple of questions as you're listening. What can I learn from this text? What is God saying? And what can I learn? And you know what you're doing there? You're engaging yourself. You're bringing yourself into it. What am I supposed to get out of this? Why did God give me this text? Am I supposed to learn something historical from this? Or is this an epistle that is written to try to help me live as a child of God? How can I grow from this topic? The topic this morning where we talked about children, the topic last week in particular where we talked about regaining manhood. To me, that lesson last week, as the one delivering it, was a really, really important lesson. Really crucial for our men and for our young men. So what were you supposed to get from it? How do you learn from it? How do you grow as a child of God? And what does this teach me about God? What does this text teach me about myself? And how can I grow? You may find taking notes will help you out. Okay, if you want to take notes, that's fine. When I preach on Sunday mornings, probably 90% of the time, if I've got PowerPoint, there are little half sheets back there of some outlines that I prepare. It takes me about 15, 20 minutes. It's not that big of a deal, but I prepare that. And I make about 70 copies, and most of the time people take them. If you don't know about them, and that may help you, you just follow along with it. It's basically going from the PowerPoint with some spots where you can fill in the blank. Just sort of maybe engage yourself a little bit more. You may prefer just to write your own notes. That's fine. Teresa is a prolific note taker. I mean, she just writes notes, and it's amazing to me. I can't do that. But maybe you can. So engage yourself. Think about it. Discuss the lesson afterward. I'm not saying this because I want you to go home and discuss my lesson. Okay? It's not about that. Discuss Brother Paul's lessons. When men are filling in until Sean gets here, discuss their lessons. Drive home and ask yourself or ask the family, ask your wife. If you're single, then you go home and you go online or you start texting a friend and ask, what did you get out of that? What applications did you find? And again, you're bringing yourselves into this. In all of these things, we have to move from being passive to being active worshipers. Why? Because we want to get something out of this, beloved. We spend a fair amount of time in worship. Or at least we should. We spend a fair amount of time at the building. Let's make sure we're worshiping. Engage yourself. Because if you think back to the text, notice, what did the psalmist say? The psalmist confesses all of his sin. He is telling God, I want to be more of what you would have me to be. I want to worship you, in essence. Then he said, create in me. And here's the good news. If you approach our assemblies and any assembly with the intention of getting something out of it, it doesn't matter who the speaker is. It doesn't matter who the song leader is. It doesn't matter who the man is who conducts and leads our minds before we take the Lord's Supper. It doesn't matter who leads the prayer. Prayer is a time for me to go to God. Singing is a time for me to sing praises and express my heart to God. When I take the Lord's Supper, I remember His death. And when anyone opens up the Bible and they try to help me understand it better, I can be enriched by that. And you can be enriched by it too. So, let's make up our minds. We're going to be people who praise God. We're going to be a church filled with people who praise God. We're going to be individuals that think about God and we lift Him up with our voices. And when we gather together with one another, this will be a time of worship and praise to God. That's what I want you to think about tonight. If you're not a Christian, I hope that you are thinking in some way about how you need to come closer to God. And if you're ready to commit yourself to Christ, then the water is ready and you can be baptized as we sing in just a moment. If you're a child of God, maybe there are a lot of crazy stuff going on in your life. Maybe you've turned these assemblies just into times where you just come and you sit and you say hello, you nod to everybody and you walk away, but your heart has not been stirred. These five things I've shared with you are not complicated. And the things all of us can do to get more out of our assemblies. And if you are a worshiper of God, you're a child of God, and your worship has not been where it needs to be, then I pray, and we all pray with one another, that you'll be stirred to change that tonight. And if you need prayers, we'll pray with you. If you just need to go to God as we're singing, if you're His child, and you want to confess and you want to say, God, create in me a clean spirit so that you can be the worshiper that you need to be, then we'd love to do anything we can to help you. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?